What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And let's pick up where we left off before the station break. Hillary Clinton, after she got over the post-election loss hangover, and boy, she looked really bad in those few days, has re-entered the political fray. She's all over making public appearances. She's campaigning again. We don't know exactly for what just yet. But she's out there, and she's making all the statements, and she's urging people to resist Donald Trump. And it's not really working, because according to Gallup poll, Hillary Clinton is just as unpopular today as she was last year leading up to the election. And what's really interesting is the normal trend is that losing presidential candidates over the last 25 years actually get a boost of at least 4 percentage points in their favorability after the election. Again, according to Gallup, Hillary Clinton didn't get that. People just do not like her. That's why she lost the election in big part here. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Mark in North Carolina, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Mark, are you there? Hello, Mark.
I'm right here.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear you. I don't know what was going on. Okay, anyway, what's on your mind today?
What you were just talking about CrowdStrike and about the Seth Rich murders and the DNC server. I don't know if you know about Lee Stranahan. He used to be a reporter for Breitbart, and Breitbart gave him the heave-ho because he was being too, because he was actually doing his investigations and things like CrowdStrike and all that. And he's really homing in on the DNC server, on the fact that they refused the FBI permission to look at the server. And he's also honing in on the fact that if anybody tried to interfere with our election, it was Ukraine, not Russia. So he's really good, and you can find him on YouTube. He's got a YouTube station. He's got the Populist TV, and he's got a radio station, radio show on Sputnik News.
I'll have to track him down on that.
They call it Fault Lines, the radio show. But he's really digging in on this, and I think he's going to find something. He had a reputation, I understand, as an excellent reporter. I understand Steve Bannon had nothing but praise for him when he was actually running Breitbart. It's a shame what's happening with Breitbart. He's talking about the two that run it now, that guy Marlowe and Boyle, that they're total idiots. They don't really care about it. You know, they hide stories. They don't report certain stories and all that. But this guy is right on it. I think he's going to find out more about Beth Rich pretty soon too, because it's all tied together. It's all tied together. There's no question that they killed Beth Rich if he leaked the information to WikiLeaks, and it seems to be almost no doubt that he did leak the information to WikiLeaks. So I don't know what you think about that.
Well, there are people who've come forward who are saying they were part of the chain, if you will. I mean, Seth Rich didn't just go right up to Julian Assange and hand him the flash drive. He handed it to a friend who handed it to another trusted friend who got it to Julian Assange. And they've all come on out and said that, yeah, Seth Rich was the leaker. Members of Seth Rich's own family have come forward to say that, yes, he told them he was going to do this. All of those leaked emails, if you look at the dates, they all stop at the time when Seth Rich was assassinated. And so it's a very compelling case. But the point here is there's far more evidence that Seth Rich was the leak and killed for it than there is that Russia somehow hacked into the DNC servers.
Oh, absolutely. There's no evidence that Russia hacked into anything.
That's right.
These murders, the murders go, I mean, there's every reason to believe the DNC would have done that. I mean, it was complete, what do you call it again? They had absolute motive. They had the ability to do it, and they had the motive to do it. So any opportunity. So,
well, I think what happened is when the emails came on out, they probably had a little skull session, and they said, first of all, if it came on out that one of our own people betrayed us, it makes us look bad, but we'll demonize the Russians, and it'll build sympathy for us. And I think that was the basis for the decision. And by the way, saying it was the Russians was an attempt to discourage people from actually reading the emails. And I remember there was one of the corporate media talking heads, I don't recall who it was, who literally came on out and tried to tell the audience, it is against the law for you to read those leaked emails. If you read them, you could be arrested and go to jail, which is complete and absolute nonsense.
That was that fool, Mario Cuomo.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, not Mario Cuomo, Chris Cuomo that said it at CNN.
And yes.
The people are going to listen to him, you know? They're afraid. The Democrats are afraid. And I think, personally, it's going to lead to more than just the Democrats if this really starts coming out.
It's going to be another major credibility loss for the corporate media. And I got to tell you right now, I know I keep coming on back to this thing. I am absolutely thrilled that the History Channel had the courage to put out this 8-hour, 4-part special on America's War on Drugs, because they're out there, you know, telling everybody, yeah, the CIA was behind the cocaine epidemic of the 1980s and 1990s. And we watched another segment of the thing last night. I've got my
what
TV
is this
set up.
What day is this on? Okay,
go to History Channel. Huh? You're going to have to look on your own guide. I know it's running now. I think they just did the 4th episode last night, but I'll tell you right now, they're going to stream this thing. They're going to run it over and over and over again, or it may be on demand. Thing is being talked up all over the place. It's getting a lot of positive coverage, along with the usual inevitable corporate media. Oh, it's all wacky conspiracy theory. You don't want to look at this. You know, drug kingpins are all smelly, swarthy South American people. You know, the idea that we have drug lords in the United States. I mean, what a ridiculous idea. You silly people.
Is this the actual History Channel, or is it one of the subsidiaries?
I know, it's like the actual History Channel. The actual History Channel. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's America's War. Plus, we posted the link to the website, to the webpage at the History Channel. You can watch all 4 episodes there as well.
Maybe people will start wising up with that, and with the Putin interviews with Oliver Stone, and maybe people are going to start winding up, wising up and finding out the truth. I wish Stone would go and interview Bashar al-Assad now, too.
I'll tell you what I would really like to see. I would really like to see, and this is a call to Rivero's Rangers, I'm going to repost that link to the History Channel page for America's War on Drugs, and I want everybody, first of all, make sure you watch it, because it validates and vindicates everything we've been saying all over the years about what was going on in MENA, Arkansas, and the involvement of the highest levels of the American government in bringing tons of cocaine into this country, and then you forward it to your social media and your email. Everybody in America needs to watch this to understand what our government has really become.
Do they actually mention MENA in this?
Yes.
Wow.
They do a lot on Barry Seal. They admit that he was working for the CIA. They tie it up with George Herbert Walker Bush. I mean, it's only 8 hours. They can't do it all, obviously, because we're talking about the activities of thousands of people occurring over many, many years. But for an 8-hour distillation, you know, they got the high points. They got the high points.
I know. I've known this for a while, and I've also saw the movie about Jerry Webb, and Alex Jones interviewed Freeway Rick Ross, not the fat corrections officer.
He's in this, by the way.
The real guy.
Huh? Yeah, Ricky Ross is in the documentary as well. I mean, they got a lot of the former drug pilots, former CIA people, and they're all coming on out and saying, yeah, this was going on, you know? And it's powerful, it's well-produced, it's well-edited. I'm probably going to get the DVD set of this thing because, you know, I'm watching this, and, you know, it's almost scary. I met a few of these people, including Freeway Ricky Ross, when I was in my first marriage because my first wife had been involved in as a mule in some of that drug currying from Central and South America into the U.S. And she actually... Say again? was before we actually got married.
For this movie to come out. I'm really waiting for this movie to come out. I think it's coming out in September there with Tom Cruise playing a part of, what's that guy's name, the guy who was...
Barry Seal.
He was murdered by
Barry Seal. Yeah, Barry Seal.
I'm really looking forward to that, too. That should be good. I looked it up. It's coming out in September. I wish it was coming out quicker.
You know, after this History Channel show, if it does get a wide viewing, and a lot of people are talking about it, I would not be surprised. Let me finish here. I would not be surprised if the Tom Cruise version of the movie comes under pressure to sort of water down the story or try and shift it away. My concern when I first started watching America's War on Drugs is they were going to try and say, well, it was just these factions of the CIA. It wasn't an official project. And, you know, we don't always know what our people are doing. But, no, they tied it right up to the highest levels of the CIA, to Felix Rodriguez, and all the way up to George Herbert Walker Bush. And people need to see this.
Yeah. By the way, yesterday, Joe Biggs was in InfoWars again. Hopefully he's going to be back. And he was talking about, what's the guy, Michael Hastings. This is another one. This is another man that was absolutely, I'm just about 100% sure that he was murdered by CIA or somebody in the deep state when they hacked into his car. And Vault 7 shows that they have the ability to do it. So that's another thing that needs to be investigated really thoroughly.
Yeah.
And there's something common with this family of Seth Rich and with Michael Hastings. They all wanted to talk and find out things, and all of a sudden they just clammed up. They clammed up to Joe Biggs even at that time. You're saying that's probably because they're being threatened.
I would imagine so. Or they were bought off. And, you know, I think if you're the family member of somebody who's been assassinated and the call to patriotism doesn't work, and even the threats don't work, there's probably a level of money that will get you to look the other way and just say, I'm going to get on with my life because I can't bring this person back anyway. Who knows? But you need to see this special, this story, America's War on Drugs.
Yeah, they'll probably replay it again, right?
I would imagine so, but again, on the next commercial break, I'm going to post the link directly to History Channel's page for the show. You can watch all the episodes there, and then please email it to all your friends, put it on all of your social media. This really needs to go viral.
Okay, appreciate that, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, do a quick little shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. Actually, they joined about 5 minutes ago, but we were caught up in that phone call. Okay, we're going to go back to the telephones here. Brian in Georgia, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. I live in Georgia. I also live in the 6th District that just made the Guinness Book for being the most expensive in history. Some interesting things that came out early on that surprised me. John Ossoff doesn't even live in the 6th District. I mean, he was literally a Washington operative that was just parachuted in here to flip the district to the Democrats. I did not know that you could legally run in a district where you aren't even a resident, but I guess anything goes now.
Yeah, and apparently there was a big problem with people who had come in from Ossoff's neighborhood to vote for him, and then we're told because they didn't actually live in that district, they couldn't vote.
Yeah, I will say, though, he had a lot of foot soldiers, and I'm sure with $23 million, you can buy a lot of troops, but they just blanketed the district with Ossoff yard signs, and if you were just sort of traveling through and didn't know the district, you'd say, well, my God, this guy Ossoff, I mean, he's got so much visible support. There's no point in even running against him. I mean, he's got this one in the bag. But couple of things about what seemed to me part of the Democrats' playbook was in the spring we had a jungle primary, just like we did for the national election. There were 18 people on the ballot trying to get this seat, and a lot of them, I think, were just somebody paid their filing fee, and they were just put on the ballot just to clutter it up and fragment the opposition, because just like with Hillary, you know, John was their poster boy from the very beginning. That's who that was going to be their candidate. I have to say that I didn't vote for Karen in the primary. She's sort of a perennial candidate in Georgia. She was Secretary of State. She ran a failed campaign for governor. The reason I remember her so vividly was I was part of a grassroots organization that sued her as Secretary of State because she was in office when they rolled out electronic voting in Georgia. And, of course, the voting came along with all the problems, the glitches, fraud that we all know. And they sued her. But anyway, and I was in a packed Fulton County courtroom when they when the judge basically he just gave the case ruled in favor of the Secretary of State, and so we still have the voting. But other than the fact that I'm glad the Democrats couldn't use this as a victory celebration. One thing about Karen Handel, she is definitely going to be voting with the GOP establishment. I mean, if they want, you know, more money for the military, if they want more Russian sanctions, you know, she's going to vote with the establishment in Washington. So she's no Cynthia McKinney. But anyway, it was a very interesting election.
Yes, it was. And again, it was almost a miniature version of the presidential election, where everybody just assumed the Democrat was going to win. The media was already set to have the party. And as the results were coming on in, especially at CNN, they were out there saying, oh, yes, this is going to be this is the mandate against Trump, and we're going to. And then the final results came on in, and just watching their faces.
They were shell-shocked.
They were absolutely shell-shocked. They thought they had this in the bag.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so we're going to let you go. All right, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for the phone call. Now then, we're still seeing a bunch of these liberals in the corporate media literally talking about how much they want President Trump to simply die. And the latest one is Michael Chabon, who's a Pulitzer Prize-winning American novelist, and he's expressing his hope. He actually hopes Donald Trump has a massive stroke and is carted out of the White House on a gurney. I think that qualifies as hate speech. Okay, and again, I'm very disappointed in Donald Trump. But let's talk about what he is doing and a difference of opinion and have an informed, educated debate. Don't start hurling names and implying threats. That gets you nowhere except a knock on the door from the Secret Service. Now, I want to do a little bit of a flashback here, and I posted this on the main page, and I'm probably going to have to take this through the commercial break because it's a little long. Some years ago, back in 1971, there was an experiment done at Stanford University by psychology professor Philip Zimbardo using college students, and this was funded by the U.S. Office of Naval Research as an investigation into the cause of difficulties between guards and prisoners at the United States Navy and Marine Corps. And so what Philip Zimbardo did is he set up a simulated prison, actually built a small prison block in a building at Stanford University, and he recruited a bunch of students for what was going to be a long-running experiment. And some of the students were going to play guards, and some of the students were going to play prisoners. And which ones got to be guards and which ones got to be prisoners was decided entirely by chance. Nobody knew what they were going to be until they were pulling lots out of the box, or however it was done. It was entirely by chance. And they ran this simulation, and they had to cancel the experiment early. And I'll explain why after we come back from these words from our sponsors. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And we were talking about the Stanford Prison Experiment. It took place back in 1971 at Stanford University. Psychology professor Philip Zimbardo built a simulated prison block, with cement blocks and actual bars, and the locks on the doors worked. And the prisoners were treated like prisoners. And everything that they needed was in there, shower room. It was a very real setup. And they chose which students would be the prisoners and which would be the guards entirely by chance. And the experiment had to be canceled after just 6 weeks. And some of the students even quit before then because what we became very obvious, the psychology of perceived power, which is what the study was all about, the guards immediately started becoming abusive and more abusive. And the more time went on, the more serious the abuse got, bordering on torture itself. Apparently, Philip's girlfriend, and now his wife, is the one who said, this has to stop. And it was a big shock and very controversial, a lot like Sidney Milgram's obedience experiment about inflicting pain on command here. And I started thinking about the Stanford Prison Experiment when I was talking with Miriam Azizi, about how Israel's government is treating the people of Israel. And it occurred to me that this dynamics of those in power and those who are being held captive apply to other situations than just prisons. Because looking at the world around us, what's going on in Israel, what's going on in our own country, it is obvious that any group, whether it be government, bankers, or clergy, or whatever, that imprisons another group, either politically, economically, or religiously, will abuse the captive population, and over time the abuse inevitably increases. From this simple dynamic, one gets dictatorship, impoverishment, sexual abuse of children, and other evils. I've certainly observed this with our federal government over the last 30 years. Probably most of you have picked up on it as well. No matter how much you give, they want more. No matter how much you obey, they want more power. And this is the science behind the old saying that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And I think it was an awareness of this dark side of human nature that will surface when one has unchecked power and authority that led the founding fathers of the United States to design an intentionally weak central government with three separate branches that were designed to keep an eye on each other. And when any one of the branches got uppity, the other two would slap it down. And of course, as a last resort, the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms to hold abusive government in check. But clearly, in the face of the inevitable escalation of such abuse by our guards, it appears this nation is on a path to revolt. I don't like it. I don't want to see it. But I think it's time we accept it. Now, getting on back to America's war on drugs, it's getting positive reviews all over the place here over at Rolling Stone. And they're calling it the secret history of the last 50 years. And it really is, because it goes back half a century. And, of course, my window on all of this goes back to the 1980s and the murder of White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster. But a lot of people are talking about this. A lot of people are talking about this. Over in Blacklisted News, they have an article on it. And glowing reviews. And again, there are a few corporate media stories saying this is all silly, it's ridiculous, conspiracy theory, it's all been disproven, blah, 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 blah. Now, I do want to take issue with something that many of these articles, including America's War on Drugs and the review in Rolling Stone, got wrong. They keep describing Gary Webb as a suicide following his story, Dark Alliance, and the San Jose Mercury. Oh, all right. We got to take another break for commercials. We're going to talk about Gary Webb when we come back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
The new word on the street is bloated. Yeah, you eat this food, GMO, herbicide, pesticide. Foods aren't safe anymore. And then we eat them and we're bloated. Our stomach says, no, no, no more, Seymour. So what we have to do is drink the tea. Are you on the tea? GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Super strength tea. It will help you with the new word. Bloated. You can get it today. Log on to GetTheTea.com.
So, you love talk radio. Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're talking about the so-called suicide of Gary Webb. Now, the story of Gary Webb, he was a reporter with the San Jose Mercury News, and he basically was looking into the crack epidemic that was hitting California and very quickly discovered that the cocaine was coming from the Central Intelligence Agency. And he wrote a series of articles collectively called Dark Alliance. He was then fired from his job. The corporate media attacked him, discredited him. And then he was found dead, and he was declared a suicide. And unfortunately, again, America's War on Drugs and the Review and Rolling Stone, they're going along with that suicide line. But he was found with two 38-caliber gunshots to his head. And what the coroner actually said was, well, I know it seems odd, but there's a possibility it was a suicide. And on that basis, he said cause of death, suicide. I seriously don't think so. And so a lot of wet work involved in this drug business. But again, suicide in the United States under the law, when you find a body, an unattended death, homicide is the legal presumption and suicide must be proven, because there are so many cases where people will commit a murder and try and make it look like a suicide. So you assume it's a murder until you can confirm it's a suicide. We went through that same thing with Vincent Foster back in 1994. Was found dead in Fort Marcy Park. Oh, must be a suicide. No, you're supposed to treat it like a potential homicide first, and of course they didn't. And tried to silence the witnesses there and all kinds of skullduggery. The FBI literally shaved off 6 inches of soil from the area where the body was found and carted it away. They did the same thing to that compound in Waco, Texas. Didn't want anybody walking on in there and finding anything embarrassing. Now then, getting on back to what's really going on with Dark Alliance, there's a gentleman named Bo Greitz, and he's a soldier, a hero. A lot of people considered him the template for the character of Rambo in those Sylvester Stallone movies. And he put out a book and later a video, which I don't think has been turned into a DVD, which is going to make it hard to find, and maybe it's on YouTube or something. It ought to be. Where he was basically out there saying that Vietnam was a cover for the CIA's Air America to smuggle opium back to the United States of America. And they were putting it inside the body bags of the American kids being killed in Vietnam. They were buying the opium from a drug lord named Khun Sa, flying it down in their Air America planes, and then putting it on the aircraft that were headed for the United States of America. So the CIA has been doing this for a very, very long time. So let's turn to Afghanistan. Apparently, Afghan opium production is now 40 times higher than it was since at the time of the U.S. invasion. Remember, the Taliban had all but eradicated opium production in Afghanistan. If you were caught with a poppy, they were going to take your hand off. Draconian, but obviously it worked. And now, of course, we have photos of the opium poppies blooming and being guarded and protected by the so-called coalition forces. And we even have pictures of some of these soldiers literally handling the sacks of the raw opium. So it's out. That's where it's coming from. And there's been a surge in both legal and illegal opiates here in the United States of America. In fact, story out of InfoWars, emergency room visits for painkillers surge 99% as overdoses spike across the U.S. And further in the article, they identify it's specifically opioid painkillers because they are addicting. People will want to take more of them, and it's very, very dangerous. Another article that came on out here from Breitbart: Obama-era drop in anti-drug programs fuel heroin use among women and children. And they're basically pointing the finger at Barack Obama for defunding opium eradication efforts in Afghanistan. Well, there never really were any opium eradication efforts in Afghanistan following the U.S. invasion. In fact, the corporate media came on out and quoted the government as saying, well, if we make them stop growing opium, these farmers will starve to death. They'll have no means of a livelihood, and that's why we just have to go along with it. But that's ridiculous. Obviously, these farmers were all growing something when the Taliban was in charge. Can't they go back to that? They're not going to want to, of course. Growing opium is far more lucrative crop. But again, and this is a point that History Channel's America's War on Drugs makes, is the hypocrisy of a government that on one hand is out there talking about a war on drugs, and on the other hand is actually bringing this stuff in. So what's really going on in there? Now, there is another video, and it's a little bit long, but you're probably going to want to watch it. And it's called The Simple Truth About the Drug War. And they're talking about how back when Richard Nixon was in office, Nixon considered his two biggest domestic obstacles: the black community, which was standing up for its civil rights, and the hippies, which formed the mainstay of the anti-Vietnam protests. And because the blacks were using heroin and the hippies were using marijuana, the criminal penalties and enforcement for those two drugs specifically were increased in order to be able to bring those populations under control, to disrupt them, to break them up, to make them look evil in the eyes of the general public. And that's what set the policy on opium and marijuana in the 1960s. It had nothing to do with whether or not they were dangerous drugs. In the case of opium, it is. It was all about control over the people. And in America's War on Drugs, they make a similar point when they point out the disparity in sentencing and enforcement between crack cocaine and powder cocaine, because crack cocaine was in the black neighborhoods. It was, the black neighborhoods were targeted for this product, and it was being punished much more severely and much heavier enforcement than the powder cocaine, which was primarily a drug of middle-class white people. So that's what was shaping the drug policy. All right, we're going to take a step back here to this attempt to shoot Republican congressman in Alexandria. There's been a new story that came on out. This is from RINF.com. And it says, we're getting more and more information. It's getting tantalizingly close here. Hodgkinson was known to have an anger management problem, Slater said, describing the gunman as a desperate man struggling in all kinds of different ways. Hodgkinson was unemployed. His 30-year marriage was not going so well. And he suffered from taking some prescription medication. They're not saying which prescription medication. I think we need to find out. Yes, Hodgkinson had a lot of things going wrong in his life. We're all under pressure right now, one way or the other. The medications can throw you over the edge, and it's time we start taking a look at that. Now, turning to the economic news here, a lot of people are looking at cryptocurrencies. They think they're great. Bitcoin is soaring up and so forth. But again, there's no commodity base under them. They can be manipulated, and you can have problems. And the latest example comes from the cryptocurrency called Ethereum, which just had a flash crash yesterday from around $320 to around 10 cents. And apparently this was triggered by the vice president of GDAX. One of their investors placed a multi-million dollar Ethereum sell order at 12:30 p.m. on Wednesday, and the size of the order caused the price of the currency to dip. That, in turn, started triggering some of the automated trading systems to issue stop-loss orders, followed by sell orders. In other words, the high-frequency computer-aided trading systems ran out of control and crashed Ethereum and hurt a lot of investors in the process. This was all being done by the computers and their algorithms. It's another reason why high-frequency computer trading should be outlawed. It was. They tried it back in the 1980s, and it was responsible for instability of the markets, tremendous chaos it caused, and they banned it. And about the same time they were repealing Glass-Steagall, they said, the Wall Street firms can bring back the high-frequency computer traders. And, of course, today the computers are much more powerful, the algorithms are much more powerful, and things can spin out of control that much faster. Now, McDonald's stock has hit an all-time high. Apparently, Wall Street investors think it's wonderful that McDonald's is going to replace all their cashiers with kiosks, where you will go on in and you will order whatever off a touchscreen, and then you'll pay for it, presumably, with a card of plastic. And I'll tell you this right now, I'm never going to set foot in a McDonald's ever again. We have got to stop this trend of killing jobs in this country, because collectively our employees are collectively our customers. we are heading to an eventual outcome of all the stores being served by robots, selling products made by robots, and they stand around with nothing to do because the human buyers don't have the money to buy anything. We're on the edge of that right now. That's why car prices are so low, appliance prices are so low. They're trying to lure buyers in. Nobody's got any money, and nobody wants to borrow any money because they are uncertain about what's going to happen in the economy. They don't want to take out a loan where 3 months from now they lose their job and they can't make the payments. They don't want that. Things are going really bad over in Illinois. They're basically in a meltdown. Basic services are being put on hold. According to this article over an Investment Watch blog, it's looking more and more like Illinois is going to basically pirate what remains in the pension funds, trying to deal with their debt. And we're seeing this all over the United States. We're seeing it all over the world. The government has amassed simply too much debt for it to handle. And remember, as you drive wages and salaries down, that revenue stream also dries up. And this is all money junkie thinking. More debt is good. Lower salaries and wages. We'll find customers somewhere. It doesn't work. For an economy to function smoothly and efficiently, there has to be a recycling mechanism where wealth is brought down from where it accumulates at the top of that economic pyramid and gets back to the bottom, where ordinary working people can trade their labor for decent wages and salaries and then pump that wealth back into the economy at the bottom. If you take away that recycling mechanism, which happens under fascism, sooner or later that economy implodes. And we're headed there. We're headed there. And nobody who is in charge sees it. Or if they see it, they're too dependent on the system to try and generate a change. New York City is now also on the verge of a pension crisis. And again, all of these defunded pensions go back to the 2008 mortgage-backed security fraud. Because remember, when that was all going on, Wall Street's rating agencies rated these bundles as AAA that made it legal for pension funds to buy them. Then the fraud collapsed, the bubble burst, the pensions were defunded, and that's why they're in trouble right now. You know, it almost reminds me of one of the wonderful videos from George Carlin, where I think you probably remember it from the quote, "It's a big club and you're not in it." And he actually said in that little monologue, he says, sooner or later, they're going to come for your retirement. They want it all. And it does seem like that. And that's addictive behavior. These money junkies want all the wealth to themselves, and they want to see everybody else just naked and homeless, starving to death in the streets, because that's what makes them feel they're rich. It's not how much wealth they have that makes them feel rich. It's how much difference in wealth they see between themselves and you that makes them feel rich. It's not enough that they're rich. Everybody else has to be poor, or their money just doesn't matter anymore. Meanwhile, we may be on the verge of a trade war with the European Union. The United States is proposing to slap stiff tariffs on steel imports from Europe, and it's hitting Brussels very hard. And the EU's trade commissioner is saying the European Union will strike back. Tariffs or sanctions on American products. Now, right now, unfortunately, the U.S. has to import a lot of steel because most of our steel mills that we used to build this nation and pointedly to fight two world wars are rusting hulks. They were abandoned to the elements years ago. We need to start looking at building new steel mills and bring the steel making back home. Meanwhile, as you know, despite the recent downturns on the NASDAQ, the tech firms are doing very, very well. You have Apple, Alphabet, Microsoft, Amazon, and Facebook are the five most valuable listed companies in the world in that order. And they have a total market value of $2.9 trillion. and they're hoarding huge amounts of cash. Now, maybe they're planning a stock buyback at some point, which very successful companies will often do to try and return more control to themselves. Some publicly traded companies have actually succeeded in going back to being private. But it's going on anyway. To nobody's surprise, up in Washington State, health insurance providers are proposing over 20% rate increase in 2018. These are the Obamacare providers. Now, when we come back from this next commercial break, we're going to take another look at the Senate health care bill and what it really means. So stay tuned, don't touch that dial, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
NutraMedical's Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
You've got the money, honey. We got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. Maybe you got the money. Well, we won't say we did. The tower's in New York City.
And hello, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I know we went over this with that phone call earlier in the show. But again, I want to get back to the Senate health care bill because there are some aspects we need to look at. First of all, in its present form, it does not look like the Senate health care bill is going to pass. There are already at least four GOP senators who are going to vote against it, and all it takes is three voting against it for it to die, because it's presumed all the Democrats are going to vote against it anyway. And one of the areas of concern are the deep cuts to Medicaid, on which many people across the country are dependent. And this may be an effort to get people who are currently on Medicaid to seek private health insurance. A lot of people are screaming that the new health care bill gives massive tax cuts to the wealthy. But the other side of the story is what it's doing is it's repealing the tax increases on the wealthy from the original Obamacare. And supposedly it's funding the loss of revenue by the cuts to Medicaid. Now, one of the good things out there is they're ending the mandate that Americans have health insurance. And as I said before, this is a good thing. It's going to force the health insurance companies to go back to trying to make the consumer happy in order to sell their product. When the government is forcing you to buy something, the price is going to go up and the quality is going to go down. We went through that when auto insurance was made mandatory. The premiums went right through the roof. And the service and everything else went down. It was just a giveaway to the car insurance companies. And again, you should have car insurance and you should have health insurance, but we need to have a system where you're getting the best value for your dollar rather than being plundered for the benefit of corporations, which unfortunately is an aspect of living in a fascist economic dictatorship. Another article, this one came out of 12160. Repeal and replace is a gigantic transfer of wealth from the lowest income Americans to the highest income Americans. I think almost everything the government has done over the last two decades could be described that way as we descend into fascism. Loot the people to make the rich richer still overall. But again, the qualifier here is that these are not really a cut in taxes on the wealthy. It's repealing the tax increase from the original Obamacare. So we need to be very, very careful about this. There's a very interesting article. It came out from unreportedtoday.com. And it's saying the U.S. economy is a perverted, neo-feudal, rent-seeking abomination. And I wish they wouldn't sugarcoat it like that. I'd rather they tell us how they really feel. But they're going on back to all these taxpayer-funded bailouts for the bankers and Wall Street and TARP and QE and all the rest of it by a government that very clearly values banks above the American people. We'll be right back.
Probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap, but did you know some companies take shortcuts? At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.